may often wonder about, why aren't the silver winners more happy? The study identified that bronze medalists were actually happier than silver medalists. Here's why. Silver medalists tended to focus on how close they came to winning the gold, so they weren't satisfied with silver. Bronze medalists tended to focus on how close they came to not winning a medal at all, and so they were just happy to be on the podium. And one of the things that that particular study does is show that your focus goes a long way in impacting your reality. Your focus goes a long way in impacting your reality. What that means is that how we feel isn't always determined by outside circumstances. If how we feel was always determined by our outside circumstances, then silver medalists would be happier than bronze medalists because they had a better result. Clearly, that is not always the case. How we feel isn't so much determined by our outside circumstances as much as it is by our focus. Here's another way of saying it this morning. It sounds a little psychobabble here, but here's another way of saying it. Your internal attitudes are more important than your external circumstances. Your internal attitudes are more important than your external circumstances. I mean, that's so true, isn't it? I'm sure many of you know people who can find something good to focus on even in the worst of circumstances. And I'm also sure many of you know someone who can find something bad to focus on even in the best of circumstances. You see, we tend to see what we're looking for. We tend to see what we're looking for. As human beings, we develop theories and ideas all the time, and then we look for evidence to support our theories and to support our ideas, and sometimes we ignore evidence that tells us otherwise. For example, if you decide you don't like someone, you will notice everything that's wrong with that person, and you'll probably ignore anything that you could maybe say you like about them. The opposite is also true. If you're really in love with someone, you might only notice the things you love about them. Do you know the phrase that we say? Love is blind. We see what we're looking for. What does that have to do with what we're looking at today? Well, today in our series, We Are the Church. I'm going to take these off now, these precious participant medals, just leave them on the floor. Today in our series, We Are the Church, in the Bible book of Acts in the New Testament, we're considering something that happened in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. If you have a mobile device or something and you want to go on YouVersion, you can go on to there, and under events, you can find the notes for the message today. You can find the scripture references. It's YouVersion.com. If you want the internet and the password, it's in the bulletin. I think there's some back there if you want to grab it and you want to do that, or maybe somebody beside you knows that, and you can follow along the notes there, or we'll have slides here as well. And so we're looking at something that happened today in this series, We Are the Church, in Acts 16, 16 to 34, and it actually wasn't a great day for two guys named Paul and Silas. In fact, it was a bad day. In our verses of Acts 16, we read of Paul and Silas being in prison in Philippi in an area called Macedonia. Actually, I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter for yourself sometime. If you want to do it now, feel free, but I just encourage you to read the whole chapter. But here's the scene. Paul and Silas and the writer of the book of Acts, his name was Luke, they're going down to the river to meet with other believers in the area to pray and to worship God. And on the way, Paul, I mean, this happens all the time on the way to prayer in church, right? On the way, Paul ends up casting a demon out of a fortune teller. Now, her master or her boss doesn't like it. because she loses the ability to predict the future. And so he gets Paul and Silas arrested. Do you know that sometimes the devil will meet you on the way to church? Yeah. He'll do everything he can to keep you from worshiping together with God's people, with hearing from God. And sometimes he does that. And so we've got Paul and Silas, and Luke's with them, and they're going down, and this girl comes along, and this fortune teller, and she has a demon, and Paul looks after that and delivers her, and then her boss is angry, upset, so they get arrested. Acts 16, 22 to 24 says this: a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so he took no chances and put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. I like that part. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. If you've been with us the last few weeks, seen some pretty awesome jailbreaks. God's people have been put in jail, and how God has supernaturally delivered. And I bet you that was out there. Okay, we're going to put another Christian in jail. How do we keep them there? Make sure they don't get away. And so they get put into an inner dungeon and their legs in stocks. That should do it. But I think we read a story like this, we read these verses, and it's tough to imagine ourselves in their place. I can't even come close to imagining myself in their place. I mean, I've had bad days before. I think you've had bad days, but nothing like this. Have you ever heard that book, that kid's book called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Some of you have? Yeah. Well, this is Paul and Silas in the Horrible, Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. If I'm Paul or Silas, I'm probably emotionally, I'm physically and spiritually wiped out. I'm exhausted. Their backs are, I mean, you can imagine. I mean, it said not just beaten, but they were severely beaten. I don't know what that's like. But their backs are bleeding from their beating. They're obviously going to be black and blue and bruised all over. And to top it off, they get put into maximum security cell in the inner dungeon with their feet clamped in stocks. A terrible, horrible, no good, very, very bad day. And that's why the next verse is so amazing. Acts 16, 25, as we carry on, says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining about their circumstances. I hope it's up on the screen behind me, because that's not what it says. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Surely, Paul and Silas could only do that because they had a bigger picture in mind. A guy named Mark Batterson, you may have heard of him, he says they were able to do that because they were able to, he uses the term zoom out. Zoom out means to look at the big picture. You know, when you have your camera or your cell phone and you're zooming in on one little thing or one person, and you know, you zoom out, you get the bigger picture of what's going on all around them. I think Paul and Silas could only do what they did because they had the big picture in mind. When we get into spiritual or emotional, I'll say slumps, it often has roots in the fact that we've zoomed in on a problem. We've fixated on something that's wrong. We've focused on the wrong thing. And in the majority of cases, the solution is zooming out so that we can get some perspective. And sometimes you've got to zoom out to look at the big picture. That's what I was reading this little story. That's what a Christian college student was practicing when she wrote a letter to her parents. She was zooming out and getting the big picture. She writes this. She says, "Dear Mom and Dad, I have so much to tell you. Because of the fire in my dorm set off by student riots, I experienced temporary lung damage and had to go to the hospital. While I was there, I fell in love with an orderly, and we've moved in together. I dropped out of school when I found out I was pregnant, and he got fired because of his drinking. So we're going to move to Alaska, where we might get married after the birth of our baby. Your loving daughter. P.S. None of this really happened, but I did fail my chemistry exam. And I just wanted you to keep it in perspective. Sometimes we need to just zoom out and to look at the big picture. You fail a chemistry exam and it feels like the end of the world, but it's not. So how do you do that? It's easy to say zoom out. How do you do that? The thing I want to say today is I think the one word answer this morning might be worship. It might be worship. How do you do that zooming out thing? Worship. Worship is taking our eyes off our external circumstances and focusing on God. When we worship, we're choosing to stop focusing on what's wrong with us or our circumstances, and we focus on what's right with God. Paul and Silas could have zoomed in and complained about their circumstances. God, we cast out a demon, and this is what we get. God, we're on a missionary journey, and we get beaten severely and thrown in jail. God, instead of watching our backs are bleeding from a beating. I might have complained. They could have complained. But they made a choice to worship God in spite of their external circumstances. And here's what worship does. It restores our spiritual equilibrium. It restores spiritual balance. It helps you regain a perspective. It enables you to find something right to praise God about, even when everything seems to be going wrong. Worship is zooming out and refocusing on the big picture. It's refocusing on the fact that Jesus died on a cross to pay the cost of my sin. It's refocusing on the fact that God loves me when I least expect it and I least deserve it. It's refocusing on the fact that God is going to get me where God wants me to go. It's refocusing on the fact that I have eternity with God to look forward to in a place where there will be no more tears, no sadness, no grief, no pain. You see, worship is refocusing on the basic truths of our faith, the basic truths of Jesus. And here's what happens. God restores the joy of my salvation. God restores the joy of my faith. And as already mentioned, we regain our spiritual balance. Is it easy? Absolutely not. I think there are few things more difficult than praising God even when things seem to be going wrong. But the purest form of worship is praising God even when you don't feel like it. Because it shows that your worship isn't based on circumstances, rather it's based on the character of God, of who He is. A fellow by the name of George Bernard Shaw said, people are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. Folks, worship helps us to reframe our circumstances. One of the most important choices you make every day of your life is your attitude. Your internal attitudes are more important than your external circumstances. The outcome of your life will be greatly impacted by your outlook on your life. And if you have a critical or complaining spirit, you'll likely complain till the day you die. But if you have a worshipful spirit, I would suggest life is better. At the end of the day, one way or the other, your focus will help towards determining your reality. And we get the free choice. We are response able. We are response able. In other words, we have the ability to choose our response in any set of circumstances. Paul and Silas were in prison, their bodies were chained, but you can't chain the human spirit. And that's what Paul and Silas modeled. Their bodies were chained, but their spirits were free to worship, and they made a choice to do that. And Paul and Silas worshiped in a way that caused their fellow prisoners to listen. You know, you think, oh, they must have been nice guys. Well, these are like killers and thieves and all the other kind of stuff. But Paul and Silas, as they worshiped, they did so in a way that caused their fellow prisoners to listen. And that choice to worship set off a chain reaction. I don't think Paul and Silas could have planned the miraculous jailbreak. I don't think that. But to make a long story short, what happens is there's an earthquake. And all the prisoners' chains, we read, all the prisoners' chains fall off and their jail cell doors shake open. I'm out, right? Like, are you kidding me? Gone. But they don't leave. Chains all fall off, doors open, but we read they don't leave. Listen to this. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop!" Must have seen what was going on. "Stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here." That's such a sad verse, and it stirs up so many thoughts. I mean, is it not true that too often we assume the worst in a situation? Is it not true that sometimes people often assume the worst, and we don't even have all the information we need to even make a decision? And because of his assumptions, the jailer is going to kill himself? I don't think that suicide is ever an option, no matter how difficult our circumstances. And I know that you know people who have committed suicide. I do. Family members. I still don't think it's the right option. I still think that God can make a way. But here's the jailer. How doubly awful that would have been if he had done that, in light of the fact that he was totally mistaken. Awesome part of the story. The jailer who's about to kill himself comes to faith in Jesus because of what happened that night. He comes to faith in Jesus, and his entire family is baptized in the middle of the night. You cannot script something like that. You can't plan miracles. But here's the cool thing. When you worship God in the most difficult circumstances, you never know what's going to happen, because worship often sets the stage for miracles. Worship often sets the stage for miracles. Worship sets the stage for spiritual earthquakes that can change your life. It might not change your circumstances, but it'll change your life. Worship is the way we stay positively connected to God, even in negative circumstances. No matter how bad things get, and we see that in Paul and Silas, as a follower of Jesus, I know this is sort of looking ahead, but as a follower of Jesus, we have eternity in heaven to look forward to, even if everything sucks here. We have eternity with Jesus to look forward to. The pain is real, I know that, but so is heaven. And the good news is that this reality is temporary. That reality lasts forever. And the key is focusing on the right reality. Here's a phrase you're going to love. This is your phrase for the day. You need a dictionary or two. But in her book called Mindfulness, Ellen Langer says that all of us have premeditated cognitive commitments. Anybody want to take a stab at identifying? Premeditated, you know that, cognitive commitments. Translation is, we tend to see what we're looking for. We tend to see what we're looking for. A pessimist will see something bad in a good situation, and an optimist will see something good in a bad situation. The Apostle Paul, actually, later on, when he wrote some letters past this event, in a book called Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, he gives a list of 8 premeditated cognitive commitments, and he says this: whatever is true, listen, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Truth, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about such things. A worshiper finds something to praise God for because they're looking for something to praise God for. A worshiper finds something to praise God for because they're looking for something to praise God for. Here's a closing thought. Just as we have just sort of landed on for a few minutes this morning, that part about Paul and Silas and what happened there. The circumstances you complain about can become chains that imprison you. The circumstances that you complain about can become chains that imprison you, and worship is the way out. Worship is the way out. It was worship that set the stage for Paul and Silas to be free physically. And it's worship that will set you free emotionally and spiritually. See, worship sets off a chain reaction. In the light of our passage today, prison doors open, folks. Chains break free. And that can happen in your circumstances. I'm not saying, and I don't think I've said this morning, that, oh, worship God and everything will be great, and you know, it's all, our circumstances may remain, but it changes us. It changes what we're looking at. It changes our focus. It changes our attitudes. Worship is powerful. It sets the stage for miracles. And so as our worship team comes back up here this morning to close our service, I just want to ask you a couple questions. Are there circumstances that you're allowing to imprison you this morning? Are there circumstances in your life or attitudes that are allowing you to be imprisoned? Second question, have your complaints about someone or something become your chains? Have your complaints about someone or something become your chains? If so this morning, can I suggest to you to stop focusing on what's wrong? Stop focusing on what's wrong about you or your circumstances or others. Let's not do that. But let's start, or let's continue focusing on what's right about God. And if you need to keep a gratitude journal, do that. Maybe you do. We've talked about those kinds of things, about starting our day off in a spirit of gratitude, of giving God thanks for something as our feet hit the floor in the morning. You need to keep a gratitude journal. Do that. Find something, and you're not too busy to do this. None of you are. None of us are. Find something every day to be grateful for. Find something every day to be grateful for. It's a spiritual discipline. We've talked about those things. Practice worship. Practice worship. Psalm 103, verse 2 says this. It's on the screen behind me. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He has done for me. We're going to stand together and close our service this morning and singing a great song called 10,000 Reasons.